The Dome Patrol United Network presents the Dome Patrol Podcast.
All right, what's up, Who Dat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk right now, but I do have myself a vodka and crayon something because it's after dark. It's an old-fashioned show. Sorry, we're a little bit of tight shots here. I got some problems with the green screen. I apologize for this.
I'm trying to share
thing right here, but it is what it is. You know, I would say this was the greatest performance by any NFL team this century, and I think that has been statistically proven. If you haven't heard by now, Drew Brees owns Tom Brady. The best record against Tom Brady as far as any quarterback in the history of the world goes. Marshawn Lattimore owns Mike Evans. Now that's no surprise. And the New Orleans Saints own the first place in the NFC South. And I don't think you could ask for a better performance from the entire team as Tom Brady threw interceptions while Drew Brees threw touchdowns. With this kind of performance, the first time the team has been 100% healthy this year, you have to wonder if that really was all that was wrong in the first place, right? And we're going to discuss all this in greater detail, plus a few headlines. We are streaming live on Facebook, so we're going to also keep your comments in mind as we go through this.
Did you just say live in the Hive?
No, live on Facebook.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't do the Hive anymore.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to kick it a little old school here. I'm trying to get back to our roots.
All right. Well, put your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to your roots. What's your number?
Speaking of my roots, I'm getting back to our old school roots. I'm probably about a. I'm gonna say a four. We did some work in the back house. Got some holes drilled, some wires run.
A lot of euphemisms going on here.
No. This is our future man cave, but I couldn't afford building it out at the time. So now
I'm hearing back house, holes drilled. I don't know what's going on.
What is this, Masters Week?
Oh, it is Masters Week, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But I had some wine with dinner, and now I got a cocktail in my Masters cup since it is Masters Week.
Holes drilled.
Yeah.
Cocktail.
I mean, come on. If you don't like drilling your holes, I mean, what are we even doing?
All right, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a guest of one, drinking some big old Ultra here. So I had a nice little steak for dinner and
Ooh, nice.
Little baked potato and some shrimp, some grilled shrimp. So
shrimp.
Wow, surf and turf. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I'm feeling
good.
Did
that with your new pellet grill?
No, actually, we did Outback tonight. They have a fundraiser going on. I had to tell you the last time I've eaten Outback.
Right.
It's a fundraiser for my son's school. Yeah. Oh yeah. We even have one in Alexandria, Jeff. Go check it out.
Wow. Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Aaron King watching live on Facebook. What's up, folks? Long time no talkie. Well, we about to walk in a talkie in the game recap. Let's first talk about and I apologize, I didn't get a chance to listen to all of the instant recap yet, so I don't know everything y'all said. But let's talk about Michael Thomas's return and how that made you feel inside.
Made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. He had five receptions, 51 yards, no touchdowns, but you know, looked good, looked pretty crisp. Something we did talk about on an instant reaction show was that obviously never having a star player injured is good, but I think that it kind of helped Drew develop rapport with some of the other receivers, whereas before it was Michael Thomas Kamara, you know, that's all he was throwing to.
Yeah,
throwing a Cook every now and then, but he's really developed rapport, and that showed in this game with 12 different receivers that he hit.
Yeah,
so
it was nice to see that. Look, he was the offensive player of the year last year. He's, no matter what any other receiver will tell you, Michael Thomas is the best receiver in the game.
Yeah.
For us not having to rely on him to kind of ease him back, it's like five catches, 50 yards, doesn't sound like much. But just having him on the field, the defense has to pay attention to that, you know, and with other receivers now, with Sanders now being completely integrated, and even with Marquez Callaway, like, who would have thought Marquez Callaway would be an important cog in this offense? But you know what? Here we are, and here he is. It was great to. I know he
and
only
Deontay
had
Harris.
And Deontay Harris.
Deontay Harris, we talked about that. That's who we talked about the other night. Deontay Harris, man. He is just, it's fun to have a guy like that on your team.
Yep. And then Traquan with the touchdown, with the awareness and the feet. I mean, Traquan, I'll tell you what, and the announcers talked about Traquan too, Chris Collinsworth and them, and it, you know, whatever. But we know Traquan, and I got to say, I am very pleased with his, where he's at now, considering where he started, and took him maybe a little long, but I think maybe Dave had said a couple episodes back at the beginning of the season that, you know, we sit here and we expect these guys to just come in and make an impact. That's rare. That doesn't happen all the time. But you get a guy, you give him time to get acclimated and into the offense. A guy like Traquan, he's not a number one receiver. He may never be.
Hey, he's a role, a good player. Number three for the Saints.
He's a role, yeah, player. He's a role player, and he plays the role that he does with the Saints amazingly.
And there's also the issue of, look, back in the day, we could expect Breeze to turn anybody into a competent number three receiver. And while Breeze has been playing well, I mean, especially over the last handful of games, Breeze has played very well. He's not at the level he was in 2010, 11, 12, whenever, where he could turn you into a solid number three receiver.
Right.
Even you, Jeff, he could.
Me?
But with him not being as good as that anymore, you know, it's a little harder, but look, he stepped up in the couple of games where we needed him to. And like we've kind of talked about, like, now that you've got Thomas, you've got Sanders, you've got, you've got Smith, you have Deontay Harris now, like, yeah, knowing the offense and being comfortable. I think the key is, like, Breeze is now comfortable with all these guys, and that's what you saw. We spread the ball around. Right. He's comfortable with everybody now.
Yeah,
it's huge. Hey,
Aaron Kingsley, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Heart Attack Harris, to be honest. Now, are you still calling him Heart Attack Harris, Aaron, because he had the fumble problems last year? Because I kind of feel like he's grown past that, and we don't need to call him Heart Attack. Or are you saying, like, Heart Attack because you get so excited every time he touches the ball because anything can happen?
I think that has to be it. I think Harris might be a top 10 player on this team right now with what he does, with how he can flip the field on special teams. In addition to whatever he does as a receiver, that's just gravy. The fact that he can flip the field, anytime he touches the ball, you're like, he could score on any kick return. That's a massive special teams advantage that not a lot of teams have.
And then you saw the play where he caught the ball, you know, in traffic, broke a tackle, and ran out of there like 20 yards. You know, he's got the speed and the ability to do that. So
it's a different Heart Attack.
Okay. I like what our boy Jose Mejia said. 11 now knows he belongs. Like, he knows he's an important part of this team. He knows he's important on special teams, but he also knows he can be a part of the regular offense.
Yeah.
And it's the confidence, you know, the self-confidence in guys goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And showing, you know, that we threw to 12 different receivers shows the depth that we have when we're at full strength. I mean, you can't cover everybody. You got Thomas, Jared Cook, who didn't have the greatest game. But anyway, you got Kamara.
That's all right. We got Aquaman.
You got Traquan. You got Harris. You got Callaway. You got Sanders. You got freaking Taysom Hill. I mean, right? Troutman caught amount a of touchdown. Hill. Yeah. Troutman caught a touchdown. You know, I mean, it's just.
And look, it's kind of what we said the other night. Like, with us healthy, like, this team is loaded. Now, look, we're loaded for this. Look, we're going all in clearly for this year, but this team is loaded. Fully healthy, this load, like, we just threw in Michael Thomas this week. We just threw him in. In addition to everybody else that we've talked
Michael
about.
Michael Thomas made the defense better. Like, he's that. Like, all of a sudden, the defense just played lights out. Like, didn't even let up a touchdown.
Well, wait, I thought he was a bad teammate. I thought he was an awful teammate.
Right, no. I'm telling you, my conspiracy theory is that they were giving him, like, HGH or something to help him recover, and they were, like, doing their own test before the NFL guys came in, and they were like, oh, shit, it's still detectable. Let's come up with some excuse that he doesn't know. No, he's suspended. He punched CJGG in the face. No.
Yeah,
that's and he was in on it. It was all a master plan. That's Sean Payton. That is the genius of Sean Payton. And so, yeah, he comes in and boom, the defense gets better.
I mean, dude,
we gave him the ball on like the 2-yard line, right? 2-3 yard line or something, and they still only got a field goal out of it.
So that's the one thing we didn't really talk about a ton the other night. And also, like, I was at Jimmy's and he was streaming the game, and the streaming like cut out. Like, it was like first and goal after the penalty. So I saw the first play miss, and then his feed, you know, got bogged down and he had to restart, and like, oh, well, they're probably gonna score. Jimmy. And eventually we came back and Jimmy's like, I don't think they scored. And sure enough,
they sure did not.
We did, like, right to first and goal to two. Our defense has been the worst in the red zone all season. To stop,
and they're Tampa Bay with Tom Brady.
I mean, I'm almost.
Theirs,
I mean,
was the best in the red zone all season.
I am surprised Tampa's they didn't run more, but I get it. Like, our run defense is good. Our streak continues. What are we at now?
They've
like,
got again. They've got Tom Brady and Mike Evans and whatever you call it.
whatever you call it. Antonio Brown.
I forget his name because he sucks.
Ty Pods?
Gronk, and they think they've got a passing game to do it. Yeah. Oh, Antonio Brown. What do you
remember?
I mean, he didn't play too bad. You know, I think he wasn't ready to play mentally, I don't think, because there was a few times where I don't mean it like that. But like,
yeah.
Oh, I there was one time, I think, when Tom threw an interception where Antonio Brown was running. He was supposed to keep going straight, but he stopped and did a hook, and Tom threw it deep. And
that was the Marcus Williams.
Yeah. So, you know, Brady has 7 interceptions on a year. We have 5 of them in 2 games.
Pretty nice, isn't it?
Like, we're in his head. We have
look,
just
it
like
was,
Adam Moore's got at Evans's number.
Dude, can we pull a Bobby Boucher, Waterboy, and somehow have Marcus Lattimore see whatever receiver he's guarding and just picture Evans' head on it.
Yeah.
Water sucks. It really, really sucks. Like, there's got to be something we can do, because how do you explain? Like, he's good. He is all world against Mike Evans.
What is him off? That cheap guy, he hit him in the back.
How can we harness it? But, how can we channel that?
And right, it is a little frustrating that he's got that in him, but he can't do that with anybody, with just everybody else. I mean, dude, you're a professional. You're getting paid millions of dollars. Like, step up.
Well, that's he's not bad. He's not bad.
He's not, right. You're right.
He's not bad, but he's not this.
But
he's not this.
You're right. Yeah.
Like this, he's the best cornerback in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's coming up for a contract soon. If he was smart, he'd figure out a way to picture Mike Evans on everybody's face.
I kind of hope Mike Evans goes to Atlanta in the near future. You know, like, his next time he gets to free agency, like, he goes there, because then Atlanta will really never accomplish anything against us as long as we have Lattimore.
Let's assume we're going to pay Lattimore. We'll see.
I think he deserves to get paid.
I mean, right, but how much do you pay?
He's going to want you to sign that contract after Tampa.
right.
And speaking of coming from contracts, Hendrickson, man, just keeping it going. 3 sacks. What is he, 3rd in the league in sacks right now?
3rd in the league.
On track for 15 sacks for the year.
Like I said the other night, he will not be a Saint next year because we can't afford him.
Oh.
It sucks. So we got to get everything we can out. But somebody's going to offer him. Even with the reduced salary cap with COVID and who knows how that's going to go. I don't, you know, they're like, oh, the Saints are way over the cap, but they're not going to allow teams, you know, the revenue is going to be so down this year, but they're not going to allow all these teams to just have to shred everything to get under this new COVID cap. They're not going to do that. The NBA is already leaving their cap at the same level and they'll just adjust moving forward. I think the NFL will do the same. However, Henderson is going to be expensive.
Mickey Loomis has proven that the cap is just an idea.
I agree with
you. It's more a suggestion.
Well, I agree with you there, but I think, you know, we're it's either Davenport or Hendrickson. I don't think we can keep them both, and we're committed to Hendrickson, which, I mean,
you said it.
Yeah, I did. I'm a 4. Come on.
No, I'm down with being committed to Hendrickson over Davenport.
No. I'm definitely committed to Davenport. Look, Davenport, as much as we ragged on him for not playing, when he plays, he makes a massive difference.
When he plays.
Wow.
I mean, Hendrickson makes a big difference too. And I mean, plays all the time.
He makes a good difference.
He gets
there. We didn't spend two first on him.
We only spent the third, which is nice. Which the good thing is he's been cheap. But look, that's why we're all in this year. We're all in.
Yeah.
Super Bowl or bust.
And it kind of depends they pay a who they get a quarterback next year and how much they're gonna have to pay them.
Jose Mejia says Lattimore was ranked 92 out of 116 cornerbacks by Pro Football Focus.
Just think he's number one going against Mike Evans. He's number like 273 otherwise.
All right. What else about the game? Let's see. Traquan, we talked about Taysom. You mentioned Taysom. We got a lot of Taysom, more Taysom than I think we had in any game this year.
Oh, wow. Scott's got to be excited for that, huh?
Right. Scott, Randy Marsh?
I got a Taysom boner. Taysom boner. Seven rushes, 50.
2 for 2, 48 yard passing.
He was a leading rusher.
He did everything.
Yeah. It was a classic Taysom.
The only thing he didn't do was block a punt, but you know that's coming.
Yeah. He kind of reverted back to his old Taysom ways. It's like he, I don't know, flipped the switch. Because, he's been having fumbling issues, and every time he gets back there, we're like, oh, fuck. And, had almost a whole series. Didn't he have like 3 or 4 plays in a row that he ran?
Yeah, it was like all Taysom.
Yeah.
What I want to know, because you take Taysom, you take the defense, you take everything. What happened this week that this entire team was so laser focused and played the perfect game? What happened?
The election.
Is it the fact? Maybe.
Well, I had a feeling that's why Michael Jenkins was going to play better. But I wonder. So, there's two things. I'm kind of joking, but one is Michael Thomas being back. That's probably not it. But it could be.
Is it Quan Alexander?
That's according to Dave Romero, yes. But no, I would say Peyton is good at using these motivational tactics on his team, and he knew that like everybody's like, oh, Tampa's now the super, like after Tampa their last few weeks where they're like, oh, Tampa's a Super Bowl favorite in the NFC. I think that's all Peyton had to do. Like, that's the genius of Peyton.
And Jose Mejia says they played the disrespect card. Could be that, right?
That's it. Right. And well, and also like
Brees legacy versus Brees.
Brees going against, because Brees knows, like, man, he knows he's better than Brady, but Brady's got so many more Super Bowls because our defense has failed him. Like, you know that motivates Drew to beat Brady. And now he's what is he against him? He's got a winning record.
5-2, is it?
5-2?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And so, it's a shame. Hey, Saints, like, got the
number three defense right now in the NFL.
It's a shame because, Brees should have 2 more games against Brady in the Super Bowl and should have 2 more wins. And Brady would have 2 less Super Bowls. You know that he's at Brees. So anytime he can go against Brady, Brees is super, super, this super. Is
probably the last time you're going to see Brees and Brady play against each other. This was it. And that's but why.
Unless it's in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, but that's why this was a primetime game.
I mean, Brees knows he knows he's retiring after this year. He's not going to stick around.
Yeah. Brendan Carpinella says, and hopefully Peyton keeps using the disrespect card with people still saying the Bucks are the best in the NFC.
As long as he can keep showing clips of Mike Florio and Chris Sims. Yes.
Oh my God, was that
those two fuck nuts?
It was insane. It was absolutely insane. Like, they got so butthurt about Saints fans calling them out. Like, they were pulling, like, as a media member, they were pulling for Tampa now or probably forever to be really?
Well, we can't wait for it till the Saints stumble and lose to Atlanta, that way we can make fun of them.
Like, I mean, really guys,
they have always trolled the Saints.
Well, Chris
Sims, some Boudreaux's butt paste.
Chris Sims is always like, when he puts out rankings and shit, he's intentionally putting Brees low or any Saint player lower on purpose. And he, whether it's because he wants a debate to happen or it's for attention. It's for attention.
Right. He shouldn't even be.
They're whores. They're media whores.
He shouldn't be. Chris Sims shouldn't be in his spot that he is. He is god awful. And Florio, I'm disappointed because when Bounty Gate happened, Florio was the one guy that actually said, hey, maybe we should look at what the NFL is doing here, and it's not right. Like, he didn't believe in Bounty Gate.
So I sided with him. Pre-social media prostitution.
That is the problem. Over the last few years, he's definitely gone full Skip Bayless, and it sucks. I know he's
better than that. Yeah, I had to stop following him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because it was just, I can't. I just, right. He's so full
and
of shit.
And wasn't Florio the one who came up with the false rumor that, like, just the week before or something?
That you were sticking it to Katrina? Oh, what? Oh, Christina. What? No, you were sticking. He came up with the false rumor that you were sticking it to Christina.
It must be a.
That was an Eminem lyric, sorry. That's an Eminem lyric.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep the show lively. Come on, man.
All right. The Michael Thomas trade. Dark. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the Michael Thomas trade.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes,
he was the one. It was him, right? Yeah. So,
you know what? No.
Screw those guys. They're going to troll Saints fans for as long as they can. And that's why I tweeted today. Like, what they don't understand, the level of pettiness that Saints fans are able to stoop to. I mean, look at what we do to Roger Goodell. Look at what we do to Bill Benovich. Look at what we do to the Falcons. Those guys just joined that club. Saints fans will never forget and never forgive them for this, especially because they came out the next day and cried like little bitches.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, just admit you were wrong and move on. But to come out and go the other way, like, okay, now you it's like now we you, should, you, right. You could have moved on.
Yeah. You shouldn't talk about us because, excuse me, you that
what do you funny, care about? What you asked say, for
that's right? What you wanted, man. You put it out there because you wanted a response, and because you didn't like the response that you got, you're gonna bitch and cry about that. Like, we owe you some level of reverence. Oh no, sir. No, the only guy we give reverence to is Nick Underhill.
Yes, number one.
Praise the Underhill.
Number one, Underhill.
Did y'all notice that since it was a blowout, like, there weren't as many penalties in the game? It's almost like they were like, not a close game, so we can't really call anything against the Saints.
No need. Right. Yeah, there's nothing we can do about this one.
Although there was eight hilarious penalties total in the game. Total.
There was a tweet. It might have been that boy Wolf, and he's been doing a bang-up job. But I don't know if it was him or somebody else, but it was like, yeah, even with a 31 lead, we're still fucking clenching our asshole. Like, we're still like the only you're up 31-0. Only Saints fans could be like still nervous. And I'll admit, at the end of the first half, like, I felt good, but I was still like, okay, we've seen enough happen, and it's Brady on the other side. You could see the NFL, and even Al Michaels was like, don't touch that dial. This game ain't over. You know, they could swing the game on a few bad penalties. Luckily, it didn't happen, but. Still, the fear in Saints fans, knowing what we've seen, especially with the officiating this year, there's still going to be a fear, no matter how big.
And there
was
one call, if I'm not mistaken, that was kind of a BS call.
Was that a BS and beer call or just a BS call?
A BS and beer, I think, actually.
Oh, okay, okay.
That you can listen to on the Dome Patrol podcast feed. Overall, I'd like to see the Saints keep doing this. I hope it's not we can only play up to our opponent, because I think as it stands right now, there's only one opponent within the rest of the season that has a winning record. Is that right?
Yeah, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Now look. Now, but Minnesota and Atlanta are playing better.
Right. But that's my point. Is I don't want the Saints to take for granted the teams that they're playing, like this week against San Francisco. Like, San Francisco can surprise you.
Yeah, I got something on that later for the game.
I like that. No, but I do think Peyton. Look, Peyton knows how important the season is. Look, this is Breeze's last season, and yes, I said Breeze's. They are, especially now that they're, other than Rankins, they are fully healthy. Fingers crossed. No COVID issues going forward, but I think this team is. It was great to see those locker room videos, because we worried about that. Look, it was coming out after the Thomas and CJGG, you know, fisticuffs. You're like, oh, this locker room might be a little fractured. We got some issues over here. To see them kind of celebrate in the locker room again, and to see Peyton dancing with the team, to me, that's a good sign going forward. Like, it seems to be a good – this was a unifying game for this team, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, you had that bitch come out today and complain that we were dancing in the locker room, so it's you know, against
from
COVID
the USA Today. That this is the same that what else she did she do?
What is
that we were having our
draft
our
party
draft
the...
our draft at a our draft
right,
room was
our, at a bar was going to be at a bar.
She's clearly a Falcons COVID fan everywhere. Or something.
Again, like remember, like what happened to all the love from Katrina 15 years ago? It's like, oh, we all love the Saints. Now we're done.
On Iron Jason, come on.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah. Jason, can you lean back a little more in the center? There you go.
Oh, you lean forward?
Yeah.
I thought I'm a lean backer.
That's what I thought too. You can lean back, but lean back like straight from the camera, not to the side.
I'm sorry. I'm not used to streaming anymore. Your computer works now. It's weird.
I know.
Give me 1 second.
Oh, and now he's leaving. What the hell? This is why we don't stream, guys. Jason's leaning off camera. Scott's walking away. It's pandemonium. No, but he did bring up this girl from the USA Today. That's like, where did that come from? Like, what is her beat? Is she the Corona beat? Is she the
no idea?
Is she a football beat? The Saints beat? Like, what? Why? What does she have any interest in that which she knows nothing about? Are you going to sit here and complain about a locker room full of guys who just fin- like Dave said, just finished tackling, huddling, spinning? They don't
and all got tested and got tested negative, so they're not spreading it to each other,
right? So
she's the Karen beat.
What in the world? Usually I try to let this kind of stuff like laugh at it and move on, but I want this woman to like come out and put another tweet that where she apologizes and says that she's a fucking moron, that she's No, she won't do it because morons don't know that they're morons. That's why they're morons, and she's a moron. Stupid.
Yep, I could have. Yep, I was quiet on that.
Add her to the list, Saints fans.
Yes, do it.
Let's
put her on the list.
Follow her and just destroy her on every tweet she makes, even if it's not about the Saints. Just go after her. Oh, such and such happened in North Korea. Shut the fuck up, bitch. You don't know what you're talking about, North Korea.
Cool. Hashtag who dat. So they know it came from a Saints fan. Right.
I like this aggressiveness.
What is this, Jose? Notre Dame football team will have the Rona next week.
Because they all storm the field.
They all storm the field. But they're all good, Catholics. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to. Yeah, they storm the field. Like, oh, yeah, I'm sure they're fine.
Fans storm the field? Like
yes.
The 12 fans?
Yeah.
No, there were a lot more fans.
Okay, well, now I could see that's Rona happening right now. Yeah,
but, I mean, they were, like, if they were wearing masks. They're probably
the coach told them. The coach told them before the game. The coach told them before the game. Look, if when we upset Clemson, everybody's going to storm the field. Get your ass to the tunnel as quickly as possible.
Did they?
Like I don't know. He went quick. He went into the tunnel fast before everybody got on the field. Yeah. From what I understand, but.
College kids. Different. I mean, what are you going to do?
That's not the team celebrating with each other in the locker room.
Right.
And it's also under the team's control. I mean, come on, the fans storm the field. The team can't help that.
I wonder if Peyton will get fined for not wearing a mask in the locker room while he was dancing.
Oh, no. Well, if it's up to Karen from the USA Today,
then yes.
Whatever her name is. We're gonna find her at and we're gonna go after
her. Name's Nancy something.
Yeah. Whatever. If anybody knows it, post it in the live chat.
I would ask Ash what her name was, but I know what he would say.
What's going on? It's Paul. Dre gave me a copy of the new album, and I just fuck it.
I didn't say it.
Her name, her. It's @NR Armor.
G23. Oh my God, Nick NRG. What are you doing? Nick NRG hated Sean Payton.
I want to get this girl's Twitter thing. What? NR
Nancy Armour. It's NR @NR Armour.
ARMOR.
MOUR.
Of course, you would spell it British.
Well, that's
oh my God.
They're not here.
You mean Canadian?
Yeah. NRAMOU.
What is happening?
Everybody follow her. Well, we're rallying.
NRA Karen.
Forming a thing. Yeah. We're gonna all follow her and we're just gonna just Just never agree with anything that she says.
Okay.
We're going to troll her, essentially. Let's just troll at NRARMOUR.
Got it.
Nancy Armour.
Armour.
I bet that, you know, that's probably Nick's mom or aunt.
It probably is.
It's his Aunt Karen.
Hey, I have
an NRG AK.
She's great. Aunt
Karen. Daggum.
Love you. No, love
Nick,
you.
Nick, you know we love to hate you. All right. You know he still listens. He acts like
he definitely hate listens, but I'm curious to see what he thinks about Sean Payton now. That's a perfect game plan.
I guarantee
this was a perfect game plan tonight.
He's gonna say every dog's got its day, you know, like a broken clock's right twice a day, you know. Something like that.
All right.
So that's it. Oh, the one other thing I wanted to mention.
Oh.
Game related. So I don't agree with this sudden love for eating a W. Everybody's all of a sudden, there's people like, hey, look, it's fun, it's awesome. No, we are not going to be hypocrites. We're not going to be those people. We made fun of that motherfucker for 4 years.
Yes, and what he did was, he knew we made fun of him. That's why he did it. He was making fun of himself.
Was he?
That's what he was doing. It was self-deprecation. Dude, he was dancing around the locker room doing this and eating the W. He knows that people were making fun of him. He knows Saints fans were making fun of him because it was against the Saints that he did that. He knows.
This is the only way he can get back and not be a fool.
Yes. He knows. He was self-deprecating.
What do y'all think on the live stream? Do y'all agree with Scott or do you agree with me? Like
Jose said facts.
Well, I don't know. Is he saying facts about Nancy being NRG's Aunt Karen, or maybe he's saying facts about
that I'm right about the W
about in our Nick's opinion of Sean Payton.
He's saying facts about eating the W.
Like, was it self-deprecation saying like, ha ha ha, I get it, everybody, yes, this is stupid, and which now we all love it. Or is it him being like, no, see, it's awesome when you're winning.
when it's
on your side.
I do think it was definitely a way for him to do this, knowing like after the performance that the Saints put on, Saints fans were just going to love him for doing that because we just did that. And they're like, oh, yeah, look at him. He's fun. He's harmless now.
Boom. Jose, Team Jeff. No, we made fun of it for so long. Now,
he's just doing that. He's just doing that to go against me.
Stupid. And no, we don't need to be doing that. I hate seeing all these Saints fans like loving it. Like you said, it was the stupidest thing you ever saw. Now, all of a sudden, it's a thing.
It's
it different because beforehand he did it seriously, now he did it as a joke.
Ironically.
Yes.
Saints fans that are doing it aren't doing it as a joke ironically. They're actually we're going to eat W's from now. That's the new crunk.
Did you see the shirt?
There's a fucking shirt now.
I know, okay.
A shirt.
Okay, that's a little much, even though crunk sucks. That's a little much. I was indifferent for the whole thing. I'm like, oh yeah, whatever.
Okay,
like
Adam's on Team Scott.
Thank you. It was funny. We were watching it live and it was funny. Me and Jason and James were watching it and we all laughed.
I'm disappointed.
I was like, eh, but I'm like, I'm not, it was kind of ha, but not ha ha funny. If that makes sense, that doesn't make sense.
I thought it was hilarious.
Only Simpsons fans.
And fine if you even still okay. I'll even allow
still dumb.
You.
Thank you, Chris. Yes,
yeah, I'll even allow
dumb.
You to laugh at it. At the moment,
I'm not gonna go buy the fucking
what I don't
shirt.
Like is right.
I'm definitely not gonna buy the shirt.
And somebody's got the kid doing the thing, and that it's all over now.
Well,
like, people,
okay,
like,
but who can't we? But why are you mad at that? Just let
because
him do
you
it.
Don't make fun of a guy for 4 years, and then the moment he does it on your team, it's the coolest thing ever.
Well,
yes,
yeah.
It is.
It was not cool then.
If you hated somebody on another team and then they came to your team, you fucking love them. That's always been the case.
That's
LSU
the guy,
fans
not
love
the
Nick Saban until
EW
he fucking
was
left.
So stupid.
Think about Jim Everett. We hated Jim Everett for the Rams. He was in our division. We hate him. He came to the Saints. He was our quarterback. We liked him.
The guy. You can change allegiances to the guy. But the thing
that it was literally 2 seconds.
We all said if he ever did that
on a TV, no,
Drew Brees would never eat a W.
Well, see, look, I didn't pay that much attention to I didn't care.
Doing the eat a W.
Jeff, you're making more of a deal.
No, hold on. I will say, no, it did kind of take off. Like, it was kind of everywhere. Like, everybody on social media was kind of retweeting it.
It'll be going
I was
Sunday.
I didn't even see it as it happened because I was. Like, when the game was ended, I was like, all right, I'm going to bed. We won. We kicked their ass. I didn't care kind of either way, but I'm also one of those guys that's like, eh, whatever, fuck off. I don't care.
And the first time he did it in a pregame huddle. He was trying to get everybody hyped. That's why it was stupid. This was after a win.
I mean,
he was doing an interview. Cam's goofing off behind him, and Jameis comes in and eats the W. It was funny. It was meant to be funny.
It was goofy, and he was kind of making fun of his old team. So maybe there's that.
Yeah. Well, and, all right. So Adam Bailey, perfect comment there. The end of it. I do think it's goofy and needs to end. Hopefully it's just the one and done for the Bucs game.
It's only when we play Tampa. It'll
be, and I think with him, it will be. And that's fine. I'm worried. I just
let it go.
Saints fans to like,
nobody's going to do that shit.
No, they're only going to wear that shirt when we play Tampa.
Okay.
Nobody's a break. There's no fans
that.
There.
Right. Look, I'm not going to this. I'm not going to this game.
Crushing the Falcon. You got the EW for the Tampa game. I'll go there. And yeah, Chris, you're right. Yeah. If we got Steve Smith, if we got Julio Jones from the Falcons, I'd suddenly be a Julio Jones fan. Yeah. If you play for my team, I'm going to be a fan of yours. But I'm not going to make fun of something you did for 4 years and then suddenly you come and do it. And then when you do it on my side, it's suddenly okay. No, I have standards.
Except for Roddy White. If Roddy White came here, I'd fucking piss on his face.
You're right. I would pull for Roddy White to get cut.
No, he would never cut.
Yes. No, but
he would also fuck him.
Yeah, fuck Roddy White.
All right. That felt good to get off my chest. Now.
All right.
Let's do a very quick NFL reach around.
I wish you could get that light off your chest.
I know you're very bright, Jeff.
Your face looks bright.
Thank you. I do have I have great ideas. I'm a very smart individual.
It's the white power of the
I don't know. It's jerseys. Yeah, the light is a little strong, but that's fine.
The light time is the right time.
Yeah. NFL reach round. They did announce that they approved a 16 team playoff, right? 8 teams per conference, but only get into the deal.
If there are missed games, which I don't think, I know they've been COVID issues in multiple games so far, and it still boggles my mind that the NFL didn't set aside an extra bye week to kind of handle this. But now. I feel like, okay, on the one hand, I'm surprised because these dudes are all about money. That just gives them an extra week to, even if they threw like 2 games on television, they're going to make a shit ton of money because there's only 2 games. But then I'm not surprised because the leadership in the NFL is just fucking incompetent. Roger Goodell's fucking incompetent. The owners are incompetent. They see dollar signs and they can't see what's happening in the world. They just assume, look, they're accustomed to a lifestyle of, hey, life's going on. COVID ain't interrupting the NFL. That's, to me, that's kind of what they thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's a contingency plan. I wonder how it affects as far as, I don't know if certain players have bonuses as far as if they're
for like making the playoffs.
How does that work?
Well, it's, to me, it's like, look, if there's a bonus for making the playoffs, technically this would be the playoffs. So they would get their bonuses, but also the NFL gets their extra, the playoff TV revenue. I mean, that's all they're looking for now, because there's no home game revenue, at least not a lot around. They're completely relying on, hey, look, if we can toss in an extra game or two on TV for the playoffs, they can make up a lot of money with that. And look, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll happen.
Well, and I just don't. I mean, look, there have been some issues. Like, look, Roethlisberger got put on the list this
week. That was – he tested negative. It's contact tracing that they put him on. And, as long as he keeps having negative tests, he'll play this weekend.
It just seems like they're playing with fire. I mean, look at LSU this week. Like, LSU got crushed, and Bama game had to be postponed. Now, it's a good thing.
A lot of college kids are – we get killed.
But, right, it is, but I mean – I mean, you say that, but like NFL guys, it's like, dude, they got a bunch of money. Like, I'm sure they don't enjoy being cooped up, and they want to kind of do things.
They get paid.
They are. But even still, these guys still get COVID.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders went out. He got COVID. Yep. He was getting paid. He got COVID.
Yep.
So I wish it's, if they just,
is that better?
If they just set a better, a better structure to give, and look, and I still think, regardless of COVID or not, I think the NFL should at least have two bye weeks a year, no matter what, just because of the beating these guys take. And it also, like, it extends your NFL season an extra week. They're still getting paid because there's still going to be games every Sunday. So to me, I don't understand why they didn't do that. They could have still had games and still made money. Yeah. But, I don't know that the playoff things, because I do think, like, they're pushing forward unless like a Patrick Mahomes or somebody or Tom Brady or somebody like this gets COVID and multiple teams get shut down. I don't think, I think we're just going to have our regular playoff format with the one extra team. I think that's what we're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably so. All right. What else happened in the NFL, Scott? Joe Burrow still looking good?
He was on a bye,
Jeff.
They were on
a bye this week.
They were on a bye this week. That's Scott's beat. He's in our arm more.
Well, I'm telling you, when Burrow's on a bye, when Burrow's on a bye, he kind of takes a week off.
You want to make some stats up for you? I mean,
everybody was talking about the Arizona-Miami game, the Tua and Kyler Murray game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that game, that was a close game, 33-31. Chiefs won. Oh, not the Chiefs. Is that what we're talking about? No, that's not what we're talking about. Miami.
And Kyler.
Somehow the Chiefs won.
Sorry. Yeah, the Chiefs beat the Panthers 33-31.
When in doubt, the Chiefs win.
I don't know. Sorry, wrong game. I have it written down, and it's right under the Dolphins Cardinals score that I wrote down.
So Miami actually won that game, right? That kind of screwed my pickums, by the way.
Yeah.
Miami did win that game. The Pats had a close game last night on Monday Night Football.
The Jets are keeping their hopes up for.
And what about Dez Bryant? Didn't he play?
He played. Congrats to him. I don't think they did much, but congrats to him.
He got sent back down to the practice squad yesterday, but they're gonna re-put him on the active roster. Some kind of COVID thing where they have to put him back. I don't know the specifics of it, but he's going to play again this week. They'll put him back on an active roster before the week's up.
Yeah, no, I think the big thing was Seattle losing at Buffalo, so that brings Seattle back to 6-2. Look, there's Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans are all right there. Tampa's right below, but it's everybody's kind of like, oh, it's the NFC's still up for grabs, even though Green Bay beat us. Green Bay lost. They had a loss, so
we need Green Bay to lose another game.
We do. We do.
Steelers, the only undefeated team left. They kind of squeaked one out against the Cowboys. It was close there for quite a while.
All the suicide pool people were sweating it out, because I guarantee you that was the majority of all suicide pools.
How did that happen? Like, how did Dallas hang?
They didn't have Dick Whistle. They had
that kid from the AAF, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, Roethlisberger also got hurt. It looked like he left the game.
His knees.
And I didn't see the whole game, so how long was he out for?
Well, that was at the end of the first half.
Yeah, he left at the end of the first half. Yeah, well, he left and went to the locker room because he didn't think they were going to get the ball back, and I think they ended up picking it off. And so they had to put the backup in. He came back. Tomlin came out today and said it's just kind of bumps and bruises and that he'll be fine.
Drew Brees on a Wednesday.
Yeah, but like I think the big thing coming out of this is, look, everybody likes Seattle. Russell Wilson's having a great year, but like Jose just said, like their defense is shit. Like, they are the Saints 2015 defense right now. They're going to score 45 points and give up 35 points. Like, their defense is awful, which is crazy. But, that means you can beat them. If the Saints
Michael put up a Gagliano, game. Michael Pittsburgh's defense is one of the best in the league. What's new?
Yeah, right.
I mean, dude, Pittsburgh's had like a solid defense for like
forever,
30 years, it feels like.
Forever. Yeah.
Maybe longer. You're right.
Yeah. But I mean, Dallas, put up 19 on them, and I guess their offense wasn't clicking. I don't know.
And sometimes, you run into a team with nothing to lose, and they just throw something at you.
Yeah.
And they might have caught Pittsburgh, sleepwalking through the game too. Like, hey, it's fucking Dallas. And then fortunately, Pittsburgh was able to wake up and do what they needed to do. Like, I've always been a bit of a maybe because they're black, and I'm gonna be generous and say gold.
It's yellow.
It's yellow.
I said I'm being generous.
You don't have to be why be generous?
They even say black and yellow.
Okay, fine.
I don't say black and gold.
They put French fries on their sandwiches and think that's a cool thing. Fuck them.
It's not the worst idea I've heard.
Yeah, but it's not great.
Depends what kind of fries. If you put rally fries on a sandwich.
Well, that's the problem. Good. They're not. They're putting these soft fries on them.
Okay,
and screw they can't. You. They apparently can't count too well either.
Oh, he's trying to go get a little political in this thing. This is not a political.
Go. No, it's not. Go to the next year. Get the next next topic.
Speaking of accountant, let's do pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. Yeah. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah, what you got? You can't win. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the show and how you take it.
So we had an interesting week in Pick'ems. We have been riding the Pick'ems high for several weeks with everybody getting winning records every week. And this didn't happen. Our Pick'ems leader, Ash, had the worst week of the bunch, going 1-4. He was tied with Ben, both at 1-4.
Ben and James called it.
Their only win was Tennessee. They lost everything
else.
Even
Ash called it.
Right?
Yeah.
I also had a losing record going 2-3. I still can't believe I picked Indy over Baltimore, but I'm an idiot. But Jeff and Scott, you both went 3-2, and James led the week at 4-1. So out of the core six, Ash still has a lead, but it's been shortened. He's at 29-15. And then we've got Jeff a game back at 28-16. I can't believe Jeff does so well in Pick'ems. You need to go on taking the over at some point.
I will be. Gunn's trying to book me. My agent's talking to his agent, and we're going to try to see if we can get on each other's schedule.
Okay. And Gunn was 8-2 in his picks this week.
Gunn did really well this week. Look, if you want to win money, definitely listen to the pod, because Gunn, he doesn't do Don't Patrol Pick'ems, but he does take in the over picks. So James, behind his 4-1 week, he jumps up to third place now at 27-17. Scott and I are a game back at 26-18. And Ben is at 22-17.
Wait. You said 27-18 and 26.
No. That's right. James is 27-17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scott, you and I are 26-18.
Got it.
So in the larger league, it is Ash has a one game lead on me.
Fucking whales.
I'm banking on the fact that he's gonna fall apart. Followed by JTL, and then James, Jason, Scott, Tom Ensign, Trevor Bruno, Mordecai, Ben, Carp. Carp's watching right now. What's up, Carp?
Where's Mike? Fuck the Falcons, Mike. When are you gonna submit your picks?
Mike hasn't done shit.
He just joined. When are you submitting your picks?
Douglas, Chris McGuire, Sans Hobbs, Gerald Booty. That's the mailman, Fidel. But he's in last place. Now, didn't Gerald Booty win Pick'ems years ago and he was on the show?
Yes.
Well, yeah, he's in last place now, so he must be having an off year. And Mike's watching?
He just joined.
Wiz Khalifa said hello. Said yellow.
I'm sorry, yellow, Mike. They have no idea. Jeff has no idea who Wiz Khalifa is.
Nope.
Thank you.
Those two?
Probably not. If Blaine was on, he would, but you won't.
Okay.
All right. So let's get into this week's picks. We got a couple of good games. It was, our first game, the Buffalo Bills, coming off a big win against Seattle. So they're sitting there at 7-2. They are in the driver's seat in the AFC East. They travel to Arizona. Arizona coming off a big loss. It was a close game, but they lost to Arizona. But now a lot of people, especially Mr. Bill Simmons, think that Arizona is a playoff lock in the NFC. So that's a little dicey. This is a big interconference game. And somehow Arizona is favored by a point and a half.
Bills.
I am going to take the Bills as well.
What's the spread?
Arizona is favored by a point and a half. And I think Arizona is good, but I think Buffalo is now.
Buffalo is. But yeah.
Right. I think last week. Yeah, like this win gave them the confidence they need to finally end the Patriots dynasty in the AFC East.
Not only that, but Arizona lost to Miami, who I know Miami's better than they have been in many years. But yeah, no.
Okay.
So give me the Bills.
All right, our next game, an NFC West battle. Seattle Seahawks coming out that loss against Buffalo. Travel to Los Angeles to play in that nice brand new stadium to play a Rams team who I believe is coming off a bye this past
bye.
Week.
Bye. Yeah.
Yep. Seattle's defense sucks. It's crazy. You'd have never thought they have the quarterback season that Russell Wilson is putting up is Breeze level 2014, and he's got to deal with the shit defense. And you know what? Sorry, I don't feel bad for you. But the Rams are at home. They're favored by 2.
So Seattle's getting 2?
Yep. Seattle's getting 2 on the quote-unquote road.
Check something. What'd you say about the Rams, though?
They're off a bye.
Besides the bye?
Nothing.
How have they been doing this year? Defense
sucks.
They're playing a brand-new stadium. I mean, they still have Aaron Donald.
Give me the Rams.
Ooh, look at you.
Seattle's defense is horrible.
They are. I mean, they're a classic 8-8, 7-9, 9-7 Saints team with a good offense. But I'm still going to take Seattle this week just because I don't believe in the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, it's a division game. They're going to play close. So I'm going to take the points, Seattle for me.
All right, our next game is a battle of top rookie quarterbacks, but don't involve Joe Burrow. So Scott, I'm sorry, your dick just went soft. The Los Angeles Chargers.
Wiz Khalifa said hello, yellow. Who, I don't even know. Does that work? Is that right? Is that did it right?
the Chargers keep finding ways to lose, despite appears to be that they have found their quarterback in Justin Herbert, not A-Bear.
Is that really right?
That's right. Yes. They call him Herbert, not A-Bear. I mean, he didn't grow up in Louisiana, so it's Herbert. They travel to Miami to play a Dolphins team who are coming off a big win against the Arizona Cardinals. Tua looked pretty good. Look, he struggled in his first game, but played a lot better his second game. Look, Miami, at this point, with that extra playoff team, I do kind of think Miami is going to make the playoffs. Probably won't win the division, but they're frisky and they got a lot of stuff going for them. But Miami is favored by only 2.5, not the full 3, but 2.5.
I'll still take Miami. I believe they got Ray Finkel, man.
The Chargers are getting 2.5.
That's correct. You know they're going to lose by 1 or 2 or 3. That's the way the game's going to end up. That's what the Chargers do. The
Chargers are going to lose by 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, that's what the Chargers do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because usually I go against West Coast teams going to the East Coast and playing on the East Coast.
Okay, so this should be easy.
But it's not because I think the Chargers are going to score some points.
The Chargers are
going to win.
Yeah, the Chargers are a good football team. Their coach sucks, but like Herbert's for real.
Give me the Chargers. Fuck.
Wow. All right. Excellent. I was going to go whatever you.
I like how Jason says the Chargers are good. They're 2-6. They're not good.
They could easily be 6-2. They've lost a lot of close games. Right. Like they're not.
Okay. Good football teams win games.
You're right. That's why I'm taking the Dolphins.
All right.
All right. Our next game, the Houston Texans, coming off a close win against Jacksonville, they traveled to Cleveland to play a Browns team coming off a bye last week. Nick Chubb, he's designated to return. I don't know that he's going to return this week, but Cleveland is still without Odell Beckham. This game is in Cleveland. Browns are favored by 3. I'm going to go first. I am taking Houston because I got burned by the Browns once, never again. The Browns are still shit.
Hey, last year, I think you got burned by the Browns like 4 times.
I did.
It took you a while to learn that lesson, didn't it?
Learning.
Sammy.
We were calling you Skidmark for a while.
Yep.
Scott, you're taking the Browns?
No. I'm taking the Texans.
Houston's getting 3, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right. And now our Odell shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
My car. Now,
my kids said their favorite part of the show is shitty game of the week. Cue the music.
Of course. Cut the music. It's not a full on NFC East battle, but there is an NFC East team here. The Washington football team. Who they're coming off a loss to the Giants last week. Washington got swept by the Giants.
That's shitty.
You know, they benched Dwayne Haskins. Meanwhile, they started.
So the Kyle Giants Allen. Only 2 wins are Gerhardt. Against Washington.
Yes, yes. They actually played Alex Smith last week, who is a great comeback story, but he's playing on one leg. Like, it's absurd to me that
they've already named him the starter for the rest of the season.
So. This is the worst franchise in the NFL. Even worse than the Falcons, which is hard to believe. They are the worst franchise in the league. They traveled to Detroit.
And yet they're in second place in their division.
What? Why can't the Saints be in the NFC East 1 year?
Dude, we'd already clinched.
I mean, think about it. we got stuck in the NFC West with San Francisco and a good Rams team all the time. And now we're in the NFC South with all these good teams. How do we get screwed like this? So anyway, they go to Detroit to play a Lions team who has a shitty coach, is a shitty team, is a shitty organization. Their quarterback did come back from COVID, so there's that. And somehow they're favored by 4.
Wait,
because
who's favored?
Detroit is favored by 4 against Washington.
I thought you were saying Washington was favored by 4. So Detroit's giving Washington 4 points?
4 points. That's how bad. I mean, look, as much as I appreciate what Alex Smith has been through, I'm sorry.
I'm taking Detroit. This is a no-brainer.
Yeah, Detroit.
I'm taking Detroit as well.
I want to switch my Chargers pick.
Why?
You scared. He's just scared.
I don't like West Coast teams going east to the East Coast. Give me Miami on that one.
All right. You're giving the Chargers 2.5.
Yes.
All right.
Jason,
me and yours picks are identical this week. There will be no separation.
That's fine. I'll take my separation later.
And Scott, you're the same except for the Rams-Seattle game.
Yep.
Yeah, this week's game, I'll be curious to see how everybody else submits their picks on Twitter this week, because I have a feeling a lot of people are going to pick similar the way the you got these spreads. I mean, it's a lot of 2, 2.5. I mean, it's pretty much straight up.
Right, you know what? How about this?
If
Scott switches his pick, I'm going to switch mine too. I'm going to go with the Chargers in Miami. Right. I'm going to switch my pick.
You got him a loss.
that's fine. That's how so we be do. It. So be it.
The plan worked.
So be it.
Exactly as we drew it up.
I care about Pickhams.
Yeah, you do. You usually you care when
we
you
know.
We can't wait to get that Outback steak bet.
Oh yeah, is that a thing? Yeah, that's fine. At least I'll take you up on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take
I'll eat the steak bets. You buy. Absolutely.
Yeah, you will. I'll just buy a steak and I'll cook it at my house.
Is Outback still doing that good bread with the butter?
Oh, always.
Yeah. Had some tonight. Had some tonight.
That's the thing. That's the thing right there. All right. So that wraps up Pick'ems. Jason, you want to recap the games real quick?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, all right.
Okay. Don't patrol after dark, folks. We drink and we forget how to do the show.
Maybe.
And it's a live stream.
All right. Buffalo at Arizona. The Cardinals favored by 1.5. Seattle at the Rams. The Rams favored by 2. The Chargers at the Dolphins. Dolphins favored by 2.5. Houston at Cleveland. The Browns favored by 3. In our shitty game, Washington at Detroit. The Lions are favored by 4. No home dogs this week. That's the first time in a long time.
How about that? All right, folks, get your picks in before kickoff on Sunday, and we will make sure that we give you credit for what your picks are as long as they win. That brings us to the part of the show where we talk about next week's game, and this time it's the San Francisco 49ers, and the segment is called Saints Preview.
What up, New Orleans? This fall, a diehard Saints fan, you heard me? They want to need a root for their team, but I don't do that. Baby, I'm a Saints fan, that's why I say who that. And if you a true who that, I need you to make some noise, you heard me?
Who that say they gon' beat them Saints?
I said if you a true who that, I need you to make some noise, you heard me?
Who that say they gon' beat them Saints?
Let's go, bring them to the dome. We
trying out a new intro.
I thought it was going to be fuck the 49ers.
Oh, no, that's,
so
that's
I gotta,
the Falcons.
But we could if do the 49ers as well.
Okay. If you look up the definition of a trap game in the dictionary, it'll be a picture of the 49ers game this weekend.
This is not the first time the 49ers have been a trap game for the Saints.
You look at 49ers, they're hurt, they're banged up, they don't have their quarterback, their defense is banged up, they don't have their running backs. Who do we have the week after? The division rival Atlanta Falcons. I know they suck this year, but it's always a big game. We always get hyped up for it.
They do too.
We've won 5 games in a row. We're riding high. We're dancing in the locker rooms. Things are going great. We just beat the shit out of a division rival whose quarterback is Tom Brady. This has every makings of a trap game.
Except Benson Burke. Hold on. Except the fact that we lost to San Francisco last year and that fucked our season. Like there's still a lot of
there's bad blood there.
There's no taking for granted. But I see what Scott's saying about with the Falcons the Falcons right after this. That is one thing about Sean Payton is there's this conspiracy theory in my own head about how he's almost willing to sacrifice a game in front of the next game because I'm going to play the most vanilla game plan against San Francisco because I'm not going to give the Falcons shit. I'm not going to give them anything to look at, nothing on tape. So he might, and this is a game that he probably would try something like that on. Like, we don't have to come up with anything creative to beat San Francisco. You take them for granted. So to Scott's point, I agree. There's the potential for a trap.
Except you look at the history of the 49ers game.
So vanilla game plan, rely on motivation to not get screwed over again, but it's still going to be, I think it's going to be one of those games that we have to fight for. It's not going to be like last week.
No game is going to be like last week. You could toss last week out. Last week
was the
pinnacle.
I think the Falcons game is going to be like last week.
But there's also the Emmanuel Sanders factor. He's a former 49er.
Yeah. You know, I hope he keeps them humble. They don't buy into the hype of the 5-game winning streak. You know, all their players are hurt. And they've been known to play down to their competition. Where they've also been known to play up to the competition, they've been known to play down the competition.
They call that the Lattimore effect.
Now, I think for sure Shanahan is going to come out with a game plan. Look, Shanahan is a great play caller. You know, they're going to come out and they're going to go all out. I just think at this point with all their injuries, we are just the better team. And yeah. I don't expect Peyton.
They are the better team.
Right. But I also don't expect Peyton to rest on his laurels and take this game for granted. Like, we know, considering there's only one bye this year, I don't expect us to falter and just have a brain fart. Well,
Vincent,
I just don't see
that. Vincent Burke is talking about it. He read a story. Tell us more about it, Vincent. I saw a
true story
about how the Saints have a big head because of the locker room celebrations and that we're looking past San Francisco. So where? What's the story you saw? Who wrote it? Where's it from? And now
it was probably Chris Sims.
It's probably
the
USA Today.
It's probably Nancy.
Nancy Armour or whatever. But because they've been doing these types of locker room celebrations for 2-3 years now, like that's not a big head thing. And so whoever wrote that is jealous. But the part about looking past San Francisco.
No. Hold on. Here's Jeff.
Well, going back to Jeff's point, though, it might not be them looking past them. It might be Sean Payton saying, I'm willing to sacrifice this game and play vanilla because I don't want to show other teams something.
We can't afford to sacrifice a game. Well, we also had two byes last year. With only one bye, the only game that we might sacrifice is Kansas City, because at the end of the day, that game is going to be a fun game, but that game doesn't matter. I know I'm just kind of stumbling on myself. I might be a five. I got that's gonna drink, but I have a lot of faith in Peyton having this team ready for the rest of the season. I don't expect any letdown at all for any game other than possibly Kansas City, because it's an AFC game. Now I know it's gonna disappoint people because that's like, oh shit, Super Bowl preview, the Saints and the Chiefs. That's the big game. That game they shouldn't care about. They should care about every other NFC game.
I agree with that game. And where I do like the point you make, and I want to believe as well.
You got to do what? And you got to believe, right?
It might be different this year because it's Breeze's last year. And so Peyton's not going to take any game for granted. He's not going to sacrifice any game. He's going to go out and win. However, he may look at it and say, I don't have to get fancy to beat San Francisco. San Francisco doesn't require that. I can actually beat them by motivating my team to go man to man and punch them in the mouth, and we will beat them because we are physically better than they are. And this might just be one of those games where it's going to be like a wrestling match. You know, it's going to be a boxing match. It's going to be a fight. It's not going to be a high flying circus where you've got touchdowns raining like it's Tampa Bay. It's going to be more of a like physical battle, I think.
Drew should expect
to be blitzed a ton by San Francisco, so we need a game plan that includes a heavy dose of Kamara and Murray.
Present. I mean, look, I know what.
Now, Vincent, did you just say that to get Jason to say present?
I hope. Yeah, so. Of course he did. Learning,
Sammy, shut up.
We need the one seed. We need that bye. We need to win every game out. Other than maybe Kansas City, we need to win every game. Kansas City is the one game that we can afford to not really give a shit about. Every other game we have to care about.
And I believe we can win this. Even as a trap game, I believe we can win this trap game.
I don't necessarily think it's a trap game. Like, San Francisco is still 4-4. It's not like they're a 2-6 team. Like, they're a good team. No, a trap game has to be a shitty team. San Francisco is not a shitty team.
Right now, they're a shitty team.
They're a shitty team.
They're 4-4. I'm sorry. They're still a good team.
They're 4-4 because they were good at the beginning of the year.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I know they've had injuries.
The edge.
I'm not taking San Francisco for granted like you guys are.
I'm not taking them for. That's what I'm saying. I'm not. Yeah, they shouldn't take them. They should take them for granted.
None of us are taking them for granted.
San Francisco is not Atlanta.
We're not taking them for granted in different ways. Jason, you're not taking them for granted because you respect them. Scott and I don't respect them, but that's what scares us is the fact that we don't respect them.
Okay, let me run down their schedule here.
A lot of scar tissue.
The first game of the year, they lost to the Cardinals. They beat the Jets, shitty team. They beat the Giants, shitty team. They lost to the Eagles, shitty team. They lost to the Dolphins, shitty team.
No, Dolphins aren't a shitty team.
Eh.
Oh, come on. You picked the Dolphins. They're not a shitty team.
This is pre-Tua.
Who cares?
Oh.
There's a little Fitzmagic in there.
they beat the Rams barely.
Good team.
They smoked the Patriots.
You just, Jason, you just said the Rams were shit.
Because I hate the Rams. They still have a good record.
They smoked the Patriots. Narrative this time.
Whatever.
They lost by 10 to the Seahawks, and they lost to the Packers.
Okay, so it actually sounds like San Francisco is a hot garbage team.
They may be like a good bad team.
They only scored 27 points against the Seahawks' shitty defense.
Good bad team. This is the way to call it. Good bad team. The Saints, by all accounts, even with a vanilla game plan, should win this game.
Look, I still think they're going to win this game.
Oh, yeah, they're going to win the game. They're going to win this game. I totally feel like they're going to win this game. You got to think, folks, what you got to know about Scott. Scott, going into every game, is ready for – he prepares himself for the worst so that he's not let down.
He did pick us to lose last week.
He did. He picked us to lose last week. LSU National Championship up until we were like up 30-0. He was he didn't want to get there. He doesn't want to be let down. So he's going to believe in what the worst is. And I have to always remind Scott, it's okay to believe. You got to have faith in this team.
Right. Have fun.
That's right.
Oh, I do have fun.
All right, here's
after they win.
Okay, here's my score prediction.
Adam, a lot of shitty talking here.
37 to 24.
If we play mistake free, we'll roll them. Yeah, you're right.
And if 37 to 24.
Do shit. 37-24.
That's what
All right, Scott, what's your score?
30-27.
Saints?
Ooh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
You get a nail biter.
I mean, most of them have been nail biters except for this past game.
You know, there is a lot of San Francisco.
I'm
going to
go
38-12. Oh, wow.
Whoa.
I like that.
Saints.
I like your confidence.
Dude, Michael Thomas is back there. Like, yeah, you'd say all this shit, but after all that, you know what? I'm going to throw it all out the window. Even though I agreed with you, I'm just going to suddenly pivot. We got Michael Thomas. We're healthy.
Pivot.
We have confidence right now. Like we have a little bit of attitude right now.
Yeah, and it's not the kind of confidence that whoever wrote that article says that we're overconfident. It's the right kind of confidence. We believe in ourselves. This is the time, folks. We've been waiting for this moment all year. You know, it's been kind of a weird year. Football season actually started. There's no fans in the stadium. The Saints are meh. It looks like they're still in preseason. Guess what? They've arrived, folks. This is it. This team is the best team in football. We have got all of our players. We are healthy. We are pumping on all cylinders. Sean Payton is dancing in the locker room. The players are getting along. We have the chemistry. This team is unstoppable. Don't stand on the tracks when the train's coming through, because San Francisco, you about to get mined.
Ooh,
trying to like, you know, like a gold digging kind of
if
thing.
If James were on here right now, he would smack you because you sound like Ben.
Why so do I sound like Ben?
Because Ben like says like, oh, there's no way in hell we'll lose this game.
Oh, that yeah,
get rolled.
Yeah, but Jeff didn't necessarily.
Yeah, but that's different. They when Ben says it. It falls apart. When I say it, it happens.
Right.
They also said really the Titanic would never sink.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, it did.
Oh my God.
We landed on the moon. All right. Final thoughts. Scott.
Final thought. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know what yours is, so I'm not gonna call on you.
Yeah. My final thought is whatever you do. Don't watch the Masters this weekend. Don't listen to what Jason has to say. It's all a bunch of crap. No, I'm just fucking with you. Go ahead, Jason. Give your
Jason final thoughts.
Masters week. It's the fall Masters. It's going to be weird. Tiger will not win, even though he won last week. So even though it's Tiger week, it's not really Tiger week. My pick is Jon Rahm to win. I like his chances. It's going to be interesting. College game day is going to be at the Masters. It's going to be weird, even though we should have had... What? LSU Bama this week due to COVID that has been postponed. But yeah, College game day is going to be at the Masters. It's going to be
why?
It's going to be worth checking out because it's the only time the Masters have been in the fall. Just check it out.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting.
Not really college game day.
Well, no.
Did y'all see the hole in one today?
Yeah, that's my boy, John Rahm. He skipped it and got a hole in one. And he had a hole in one in a practice round yesterday. I'm just angry that he wastes his hole in ones in the practice round because I need him to win. But yeah, I mean, look, Masters is always a good week. Definitely be sure to check out, make some Masters bets if you can. By tomorrow, I don't know what Mr. Gunn has when he's recording, when he's posting. My second final thought is, I know we haven't, with COVID, there's no concerts or anything, but 311 is live streaming their first three albums in studio, and the first one is tomorrow. They're doing music tomorrow.
All right. Very cool.
Don't sound so excited, Jeff. But yeah.
Vince Burke said, hey, these are the pronouns that she knows. That's right. Vincent Burke said, hey, what? Look at him tweets anyway. Ain't none of y'all motherfuckers tweeting about it.
Right?
Oh. Hey, Vincent Burke, I did give you a birthday shout out on the Instant Reaction Show. If you didn't listen to it, go listen to it.
Holla.
Per your tweet. Right. But I did pay attention to your tweet.
In the meantime, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dope Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts. That includes the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show or Delayed Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, and Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, the newest hit sensation. Follow the Dome Patrol Podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow BS and Beer Saints Podcast at BS and Beer Media and Taking the Over at Taking the Over. Follow us on Facebook for live streams like this one. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, single podcast donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
Just take a moment to smoke a joint once in a while. You know, we do it daily and like it, but that's our style.